Well, good evening. How's everybody doing tonight? Let's hear Jesus, all right? Jesus. Jesus. One more time. Jesus. Hey, we're so excited to have everybody here tonight. My name is Rob Bolton. I'm pastor of Faith Church just down the street. And welcome to the Good News Tent Meeting 2022 of Vermilion County. It is so good to see everybody. We've been praying for good weather, and the Lord's been listening to us. He gave us some great weather, and everybody looks good tonight. Let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing weather. We thank you for the opportunity to bring the gospel to Vermilion County. Lord, we pray for Pastor Larry to bring the word. We pray for the Lesters to bring the worship. Yes. God, above all, we pray that you are glorified. And Lord, we pray that your peace would descend upon this tent, this area. And we mark this area off for, in the name of Jesus. This is hallowed ground. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Will.
Yeah. Just want to echo Jonathan's words. So grateful for all of you to come outside. So wonderful to be outside in this beautiful weather, in this beautiful place, to have the opportunity to worship the living God tonight.
Amen.
There's only one place in the New Testament that God says, I seek after, and the only place is John chapter 4 when he said, I seek after the true worshipers. God's looking for people that will worship him in spirit and in truth, and God inhabits the very praises of his people tonight.
Amen.
You feel that praise in your heart tonight, say amen.
Amen.
I rejoice tonight in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful tonight to have the most important person in my life outside of the Lord Jesus is with me tonight. I want my little wife to stand right here. I don't have to tell you because many of you prayed for us. But it was 30 months ago on an April 1st. My wife suffered a severe brain seizure, was cast into the hospital, put in isolation, and I could not see her for 33 days. It was the most traumatic experience of my life. I can admit to you this evening, when you're going through pain and difficulty, you turn your eyes to Jesus. You look to him for everything and every need. But in those hours of separation, there were times in my life when I wondered, God, where are you? What's happening? Lord, why is it taking so long? There were questions. There was even doubts in my mind. I confess that to you openly tonight. Then God began to show me, and openly his word became alive. And I want to say to you tonight, if you don't fill your life with God's word, Satan will fill your life with doubt, worry, and fear. You need to know tonight, fill your heart with God's word and his promises, because they are true, they're steadfast, they're always sure. And one night I opened the scripture to Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. And there the Lord just quietly spoke into my heart when he said, I would have despaired had I not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and take courage. And the Lord spoke into my heart that night. Don't give in to despair. Don't give in to discouragement. And I'm saying that to someone in this room tonight. But God is saying to you in your heart, look to the Lord, for the blessed day of the Lord is coming when he will bless. He will open up those doors and he will come into your heart in a special way and give you peace that passes all understanding.
Amen. Amen.
It was on Easter Sunday night. My heart was so low. A friend called me from Louisville and he said, Larry, I've got one word for you, and I want you to read Mark 5:36. He hung up the phone. He said, the Holy Spirit told me to give you Mark chapter 5, verse 36. Read it. I thumbed it through the scripture in my mind, and I kind of remembered the story of Jairus' daughter who was near death, and then she died, and Jairus was trying to find Jesus, and he was pressing through the crowd, and the crowd said to him, Jairus, don't bother the master. Your daughter is dead. It's over. Don't bother the master. But Jairus pressed through. And Jesus turned and looked at him. And he said, Jairus, do not be afraid. Only believe. Do not be afraid. Only believe. And when that first came into my heart, I want to tell you something happened in me. It just burst forth with a crescendo of praise and thanksgiving for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ tonight.
That's right.
I want you to know tonight, Satan is the author of fear, doubt, discouragement, disillusionment, and discouragement tonight. But God said, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. I want you to know tonight, I want you to say these promises with me tonight. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he has delivered them out of them all. Thanks be unto God, who causes us always to triumph. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me.
I
have not seen,
ears
not heard,
neither
is entered into the heart of man. All the things that God has in store.
All the things God has in store.
Those who love Him.
Those who love Him.
And are called according to His purpose.
Call according to His purpose.
Commit your way to the Lord.
Trust in Him.
And He will do it.
And He will do it.
Rest in the Lord.
Rest in the Lord.
And wait patiently.
Wait patiently.
Amen. Isaiah 64:4. God always works in behalf of those who wait on Him. You hear that tonight, church?
Amen.
The best things in life come from waiting on God. God will renew your strength. He will mount you up like an eagle and give you strength in your wings, and He'll help you to run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. God says, if you wait on me, trust in me, I will make all things come to pass in my due time. And God's saying that to some of us here tonight. Don't cave into discouragement. Don't give in to despair. Hope in the Lord. Here's my promise right now for you. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
That's the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope, He is a God who bursts hope in your life. And there's been so much despair and discouragement in this nation, and God is reviving us tonight in the spirit of hopefulness in Him, in Him alone tonight. God is victorious in all things tonight. And I want to say to you tonight, what a joy. Come back from Peru and Nicaragua this summer and say you again and again how wonderful it is to see the Spirit of the Lord that is moving across the face of the earth. And He's moving here in Fairmount, Illinois tonight. He's here in our midst just as He is everywhere in the world. And God is raising up people unto Himself to love Him and to know Him. And God is in the spirit of giving us revival tonight. Revival is going to begin with us. It's going to begin with you. And if we'll open our hearts to Him this evening as we hear His word and listen to Him, what He has to say, God will revive you and touch your heart. How many of you could use a little bit of joy in your life this day? I don't know about you. That's been one of the greatest things I've been reading in Scripture lately, is all the times that Jesus went around and He brought joy in people's lives in the midst of their pain and their difficulty. And I don't have time. We'll do it all tonight. But every night this week, I'm going to be telling you about stories of joy that Jesus Christ is birthing in people's lives. And He wants to renew us and give us that joy in our life. Jesus said in John chapter 16, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. That's God's reviving spirit in you and me. He wants to give us the joy of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, of the early disciples, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and with joy. And there's joy in the house of God. When the Holy Spirit comes and revival is taking place, I imagine Jonathan was right. When 500 people gathered together, there's joy in the house. They're looking to get there early.
Yeah.
I can remember in Lima, Peru, I went to a church in Lima. There were 1,000 people outside ready to jump in the door when they opened the door. And they all ran in, and when they counted to 1,000, the fire marshal said, "Time out, the rest of you stay back, you can't come in." The church went in about an hour and a half later. Here comes another 1,000 people in. That went on 5 times in one day. People running to get to the pew, to get into the church. Friends, I want to tell you tonight, there's a revival that's spreading across the earth. And God is trying to birth in your heart and mind this hopeful joy that comes in Jesus Christ. Now, we know tonight that what robs us of our joy oftentimes is sin. Sin is what destroys. Sin is what takes away the faith and joy in our life. But God, through His Holy Spirit, is saying tonight, when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
I say to you this evening, every time you look through the Old Testament and there was a revival, they gathered all the people together. Four times in the Old Testament, they gathered together. And every time the prophet would say, people of God, we gather together. And God said this, I want you to do two things. Number one, I want you to consecrate yourselves. You know what the word consecrate means? In the Hebrew language, it means kadosh. It means to turn your life, your heart, to the Lord. God didn't say, go get your life cleaned up and then come to me and I'll love you. God loves you because He loves you because He is love.
That's right.
He loves you because He is love tonight. Amen. He wants you to consecrate your heart to Him. Turn to Him. Look to Him. When you and I repent of our sinful nature and repent and turn to God, what you're doing is you're turning around and you're looking into the face of God. God can only bless you when you have your face pointed toward Him. He wants to bless you. He wants to embrace your heart. He wants to look to you with joy to put in your life. When the prodigal son came running home, the father was already outside peering down the road. He was looking for this son to come running back home, but he didn't. The father ran to the son, clothed him with a robe, put a signet ring on him, started a party. This was the Father's image. This is God. God's saying to you and me tonight, run to Him. Don't walk, run to God.
Yes.
Don't just get up and just say, oh God, let's give you a little bit of salvation. No, He wants to give you a full dose of salvation tonight. And guess what?
Yes.
All of heaven rejoices when one person repents.
That's right.
When you turn your heart to God and you turn away from facing the darkness and face Him, all of heaven rejoices over that one act of faith on your part of mine. I'm thankful tonight for the precious power of the Holy Spirit. So God would say to them, as Hezekiah restored the worship, when Josiah reformed the church, when Joshua was about to take over Jericho, what did God say? Every time He said, tell the people, consecrate your heart to me. And I say that to you tonight. That is the first step toward revival, is to consecrate your heart to Him. No matter the circumstances in your life, God wants you to turn to Him, look to Him, and let Him sustain you and hold you up. The second thing that the prophet would say, we have come for this purpose. We have come together in this tent meeting, folks. This is what he would say in the book of Joel. And he'd say, this is why we've gathered. We've come here for one reason. We've come to seek the Lord God Almighty. We've come to seek Him above everything else. Jeremiah chapter 29, the Lord said, you shall find me when you shall seek for me and search for me with all of your heart. God wants all of your heart to come. He doesn't want just to come and just say, oh Lord, just give me a little bit of this. He wants to give you everything that's in His hands tonight. All things belong to God. Everything belongs to Him. And He wants you to turn to Him so that He can give you all that you need in your life.
Yes.
You have your Bibles tonight. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. And I'd like to point a picture of revival that we find. It's been a passage that many of you probably know. But I want you to know tonight, without a doubt in my mind, this is one of the most awesome, awe-inspiring pictures of God that you will ever find in the Bible. How many of you believe that God is a big God tonight?
Amen.
He dwells in the heavens. And I love it when he said in Isaiah, the nations are but like a drop in the bucket. The nations are but like a speck of dust in my eyes.
Yes.
He is so awesome. He's so magnanimous. And yet he's so loving and so kind and so merciful. He wants to live inside of you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Your body is God's temple. And God says, I want to inhabit your temple. I want to come and live within you. And so the Bible says this evening that when you come to the Lord and you invite the Holy Spirit into your life and Jesus comes and you're born again of the Spirit, or you're filled with the Spirit, or you've turned to the Spirit, you have inhabited the very heavenly Father above, who created the sun, the moon, and the stars. The same God who raised Lazarus from the dead. The same God who performed miracles on this earth. And he came into your life and mine. This is the same God who wants to live inside of you. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Bible says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Lands of mercy, what in the world are we lacking tonight? We ought to be jumping up and down and running all around the tent saying, thank you, God, for your precious Holy Spirit. And so this picture of Isaiah chapter 6, we're going to read it briefly. But I want you to capture this picture of God that's written in the Scripture, because it really depicts who God is. Listen to me. In the same year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. Where there's smoke, there's what?
Fire.
Okay, listen to me now. So I said, where there's smoke, there's what?
Fire.
Yeah. So I said, listen to Isaiah. Woe is me, for I am undone. Isn't that amazing? If you were to study the Scripture carefully, you'll find that every time somebody comes into the holy presence of a holy God, you don't just stand there and say, oh, my, my, isn't this wonderful? No, 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 no. You go to your face. You get off your shoes. Moses, you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off right now.
Right.
Habakkuk, standing in his throne, he sees the glory of God. And his lips begin to tremble. The presence of a holy God. We read in Revelation the scenery of the majestic glory of God. God is a holy God. He is a holy God, and he reigns in his triumphant rule over all the earth today. And Isaiah, when he comes into the presence of God, he doesn't just diddy-bop out. He says, Lord, woe is who? Isn't it amazing? If you went back to Isaiah chapter 5, Brother Bill, you look at Isaiah, and five times he's saying, woe is you that drink, woe is you that do evil, woe is you that speak evil truth. He's saying woe to everybody. He could point out everybody's sins, but he didn't know his own. Isn't that true in the church a lot today? We can point out the sins of others. We know what all the world's doing. But I want you to know something tonight. It's not the sins in the White House tonight. God's entered in the sins in your house. It's your house tonight. God's looking at you and me. He wants us to search our hearts this week of revival. He wants to search you and try you and see if there be any wicked way in you and lead you in the way everlasting. I know this from my own experience. I know that myself, I have found myself on my face, and the Lord will reveal himself as he has for you and me. And you realize you're undone. This is a holy God. And God wants you to confess to him and look to him. We know this evening there are many sins that defile our nation tonight. And many people have called through the last few years and said, you know, Brother Larry, what we got to do in this nation is repent.
Yeah.
What are you going to repent of? We don't ever specify the sins. We just say we need to repent as a nation. No, you need to repent individually, each one of us, as we search our life. Listen to this evening. Think about all the grace that has been that God's grace has removed from us. Unbelief, lust, lying, cheating, unclean thoughts, filthy speech, dirty habits, cursing, ingratitude, indifference, disregard of self-discipline, prayerlessness, robbing God of his tithes, neglect of the poor, racial discrimination, an unforgiving spirit, backbiting, envy, jealousy, bitterness, deceitfulness, selfishness, hypocrisy, whatever it is, whether it be deed or disposition, it is known to be contrary to the holiness of a holy God. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? How did the psalmist put it? Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? He that has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. God is after the purity of your heart and mind. And so Jesus makes it very plain in Matthew 5. He said, blessed are the pure heart, for they shall see God. He didn't say just anybody's going to see God. He said, I'm going to purify your heart that you may see me and know me. And that's what happened to Isaiah. He had his eyes open. He had a new vision of God. And I want to propose to you on this first night of revival that God give you a new vision of God himself. That God give me a new vision of who he is and what he's like. And to thank him this evening for the grace and the mercy of God that through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, we are more than conquerors in him this evening.
Right.
We know for sure tonight it's through his blood that we can go to Calvary and find that he is self-sufficient for all of our needs this evening.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb because of the word of their testimony and because they love not their life unto death. Thanks be to God tonight for this victory that we can have over the enemy of our soul. And yet so many have been held captive and become enslaved to the sins of the flesh and the sins of the heart. And God is wanting to create a clean heart and give us a new disposition and a new nature, that all things will pass away, all things will become new, and I'll become a new creation in Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, I want to say to you without a doubt, don't you miss the opportunity to let God restore the right joy in your life. That when you come to him and you've been purified by his Spirit, by faith in Jesus Christ alone, he will give you everything that you need tonight. My, thank God that there was smoke in the temple. There was fire. There was fire there. You see, our God, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:29, our God is an all-consuming fire. Can you say that with me? Our God is an all-consuming fire. Now, you're going to hear that every night this week. Why? Because fire purifies. Fire consumes, but it doesn't destroy. John the Baptist said, I've come to baptize you with water unto repentance, but there's one coming after me that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And guess who that is? Jesus. He's the baptizer of the fire. Can I ask you tonight, what's happened to the Shekinah glory? What's happened to the glory of God that we once celebrated in our churches? The presence of a holy God. I was reading not too long ago that in most churches today, that if you were to just say, let's just carry on the program without the Holy Spirit, probably 95% of all churches would continue to operate even without the Holy Spirit being present. Why? Because we've become accustomed. We become accustomed to the darkness. We become accustomed to the things of the world, and we just simply glide through life and just simply ignore the clear demands of God that he is a holy God who's calling you and me to be a holy people unto himself.
Yes.
God is no trifler. He says, do not take my name in vain. Don't take me lightly. God is an all-consuming fire. When he decided to get rid of Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent the fire down and consumed it. The Bible says in the last days, before Jesus comes, he will come like a thief in the night when you least expect it. He will come, and there will come a consuming fire that will consume the earth. All the wealth and all the territory, all the things we gain in this life won't mean a thing in eternity. Let me tell you. Only thing that counts tonight is your heart right with God.
Yes.
Is your heart right with God? This is the most vital, important decision in the world we live in today. I had a friend that just returned from Europe from about a three-week stay. He said, Larry, Europe is gone. There is no Christian witness in so many thousands of villages all across France, Germany, Netherlands, Finland, places he visits. And Larry, you can't imagine the darkness that is covering the earth. But God, in his infinite love and mercy, is extending to you and I this evening that amazing grace that where once I was lost, now I'm saved. Where once I was blind, now I see. God wants to open our eyes. He wants to open our eyes to see him high and lifted up in his holy train tonight. He's a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a kind God. But he's also a just God. A just God. And there has to be an accounting for sin in our life. And thank God for Jesus Christ, who died on that cross of Calvary that you and I may be made holy unto himself. Okay. Romans 8:29, the Bible says, he said, you be there transformed, conformed to the very image of Jesus himself. Jesus wants us to become just like him. Why? Because he said in the last days before he comes, he said he will come like a thief in the night when you least expect it. And the Bible says that you will see him as he is. You will become just like him when you enter into the portal of glory. What an amazing reality tonight to know the joy that awaits everyone in this room tonight that's going to heaven. How many are going to heaven tonight? I want to get on that train. I want to get on that train with him. I want to be with Jesus. I want to get my ticket there with him and to know we're going to be there for all of eternity. Somebody said, what are you going to do in eternity? Jesus said in John chapter 17, he said, this is life eternal, that you may know me. It will take you eternity to know this God. He is so big, so magnanimous, so amazing that he says, you'll spend all of eternity just getting to know me. You're not going to be up there playing on a harp, singing on the streets of gold. You're going to be learning to know Jesus as he fully is. And isn't it amazing tonight? God has given us that privilege, that opportunity, one more day to live for him.
That's right. Praise.
I can remember when I thought Jenny was going to die. And it crossed my heart several times. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. You see, the good Lord giveth, and the good Lord taketh. And I know that day was coming. But I want to tell you tonight, every morning I get up, and I look at this dear lady laying next to me. I say to God every day, thank you, Lord, for one more day. Forgive me for taking her for granted. Forgive me for the times I slighted or maybe that treated her as well. I learned something new about me. And you know something tonight? God wants to teach you something about you.
That's right.
I had a man get up one night in revival. He said, when I stopped praying for my family, that's when God saved my family. I said, what? He said, when I stopped praying for my family, that's when God saved my family. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, when I stopped praying for God to make my boy and a good son, I started praying for me to be a godly father, a godly husband, and a holy man of God. That's when God changed my family.
That's right.
When God changed me. I want you to know tonight, this is something to be said to every parent, every grandparent. Your main job is to make Jesus look good. Every day of your life, we're just here to make Jesus look good. Whatever he gives you to do, whether an attitude, action, word, or deed, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and people will see your light, and they'll be drawn and attracted to that light. And I want to tell you something. My 13-year-old boy, my first trip up here, 23 years ago, Larry McDowell, that first trip up here, I had to turn around. My son had run away from home. I was in tears. I had to go back and God showed me something important. You bless your children. You bless them. You ask forgiveness. And you know something? When I heard that testimony of that one man that night, that changed my life. And guess what? It changed my son's life. He's now a fine Christian young man serving the Lord today with all his heart. But God had to show me my own shortcomings, my own sinfulness. He had to show me the shortcomings of our lives. And I want to tell you tonight, I don't care if you're a preacher, a pastor, or a missionary, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. You're the same in the eyes of God as any other person. God wants to do business in your heart and life. He wants to change your family. He wants to change, and it begins with you and me. Isaiah said, Lord, it's me that's unclean. And so the angel went over and got the tongs off the altar. He put the charcoal fire on his tongue. Isn't it amazing? Every time God sends the fire of the Holy Spirit, the first thing he touches is what? The tongue. Pentecost came down with cloven tongues of fire, and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. He spoke the word of God in these impossible languages. God spoke that. Ephesians 5:18, Paul said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, the first thing he touches is what? Let me tell you something tonight. If you live with a critical spirit, or you've got a complaining spirit, you're quenching the Spirit of God in your life. You can't have the Holy Spirit and a critical spirit. It doesn't go together. God is a humble God. He's a humble God who causes his people to say, my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Once again, God is saying, here's the secret to revival. If you want a personal revival in your life this week, it's not going to be because we have gathered here together under an open tent, or we've heard special singing, or you've heard preaching. It's going to be because God, through the Holy Spirit, has spoken into your life something specific that he wants to do. And all it takes is that one step. One step, and God the Holy Spirit will meet you right where you are. I remember that day, Brother Bill, standing in the doorway of an airplane about to make my first parachute job. You know what I prayed that day? Anybody guess what you'd pray if you're standing in the doorway of a perfect good airplane?
That's you,
Joe. I said, Lord, save me. He did. By his grace, my chute opened. I landed safely. Oh, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I repent. If I ever have to do this again, and I did. Oh, God, please save me again. I got saved 33 times before I left. Lord, help me. Listen, don't wait till the crisis hits you.
Yes.
Don't wait till something happened like happened to my wife. Don't miss an opportunity to tell your children how much you love them. Don't miss an opportunity to tell your wife or husband how much you love them. They can be laying next to you tonight and tomorrow can be gone just like that. You need to wake up. We need to realize tonight we need the fire of God's Holy Spirit as never before.
Yes.
And Jesus Christ tonight is the one who said, I will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Is there fire in your heart tonight? Is there deep devotion and love for Jesus like never before? If not, why not? If not, why not tonight? Why not make this tonight, that I make that first step saying, Lord, I want to be a holy person unto you. Forgive me, Lord. Have mercy upon my life. And that God will do it. And if you're praying for somebody unsaved in your family tonight, I want you to know right now, we've got these little tracts. We bought several hundred of them. I want to put them in your hand. You put them in the hands of your children if you need to. We're going to give them to you for free. You just pick them up and take them. But it explains the gospel of Jesus Christ to anyone. And many people have come to Christ through these little tracts all over the world. But I want to know most importantly tonight, the greatest offering you could ever give God, the greatest offering you could ever give God is not your money. The greatest gift you could ever give God is your heart. Paul said in Romans 12, would you not present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to me? God wants us to present ourselves to him. Turn to him. This is the first night. Let's take that step of consecration. Let's consecrate our hearts to the Lord. Let's determine in this week, in these days that we're together, spend some time in your Bible tomorrow. Spend some time just praying between you and God. Have some time alone with him and watch what God will do in your life. He'll restore a new joy. He'll put a newfound hope in your heart. He'll give you joy in the midst of a world that says everything is going to hell in a handbasket. But let me tell you tonight, it's not. Hope is a Christian virtue and despair is a mortal sin. These may be the only days. These days may be bad, but they're the only days we've got. We're living in the greatest day of opportunity God could ever give us. What a joy it is to live for him tonight. What a joy to stand up for Jesus and count ourselves worthy to suffer for his namesake in whatever way. Isn't it amazing those early disciples? They rejoiced. They were in joy when they suffered. They said, oh my goodness, thank God we were able to suffer for him. Paul and Silas are hanging their hands in the stocks at midnight. Stripes, blood coming down their backs. They weren't in a prayer meeting. They were in the stocks. They were bleeding. And the Bible says, they begin to sing praises to God.
Yes.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Don't you want to have that joy in your heart? That even when difficulty comes, you can say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Give me that strength, God. Give me that joy that only you can give. And that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. For joy is the fruit of the Spirit tonight. And joy can be yours if that's what you're hungry for tonight. Anybody hungry for more joy? I'm hungry for more of Him. More of Him all the time. Let's stand our feet tonight just for a few moments together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the grace of God, the mercies of God, your loving kindness that is greater than life itself. Father, we thank you tonight as we come to this first evening of revival, that Lord, you'd let revival begin and let it begin with me. Let it begin with my brothers and sisters here, individually, every one of us tonight. Lord, we want to be clean hands and pure heart. We want to stand in the holy presence of a holy God. We want to know, Father, that our sins have been forgiven. And that, Lord, you've written our name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yes.
And that, Lord, you saved us from an eternal hell and separation from God. Father, we thank you tonight for that plan, that gift of salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you tonight, Father. Give us that great gift of yourself tonight, Father. Reveal yourself to us as you did to Isaiah. Would you come into our hearts? And as Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. Use me now, Lord. You've cleansed me. You've purified me. Now, Lord, use my life for your glory. Father, would you do that for us this evening tonight?
Yes.
Help us to invite other people to come the next three evenings we're together. Would you come tonight, Lord, through your manifest presence and the power of your Holy Spirit? Would you come now and do that within our hearts that only you can do? Yes, Lord. Friends and neighbors, would you just bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? Would you just for a moment in meditation before the Lord? Would you confess before Him the need of your heart and life this evening? Would you step out and say tonight, Father, I want the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. This altar is open every night that we're here together.
Yes,
Brother Bill's going to come and lead us in a song.
Praise.
But rather than singing before the Lord, I want you to have some time to let Bill sing. And I want you to come. And I want you to just kneel before the Lord and let's humble ourselves before Him tonight. How many of you really want revival tonight? I want Him. I want Him. Let's humble ourselves before God tonight. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come and deal with everything in our hearts tonight and say to Him, Lord, I want the joy of the Lord in my life more than ever before. Would you come this evening? Right now, let's just come and pray right now. Would you come? I invite you this night at this altar to come. Altar's over. Anyone who come this evening, come. Join us for prayer around this altar.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch.
Come on down this night, folks. You're open tonight. I know that people are hungry for God. Those that are hungry for the Holy Spirit, you're welcome to come. Holy Spirit, come. He's here with us. Whether you can kneel or stand, it doesn't matter, but this altar is always open. It's a symbol of our confession, our consecration to the Lord. How many would say tonight, Lord, I want to consecrate my life to you. I want to be obedient to you and your calling on my life. You feel free to come. We're going to pray this evening for each and every one, whether you're standing or sitting. We're believing God tonight as we come to seek the Lord with all your heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hear our prayers as we call on your name tonight. There's somebody unsaved here tonight. You need Christ as your Savior. I want to invite you to come. This is your night. This is your evening. You come. Let go and let God. Let Him write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can have eternal life tonight by Jesus Christ tonight. You let go and let Him have His way.
I first believe.
Let me ask you tonight, how many of you are praying for unsaved children? Raise your hand. Anybody praying for unsaved children? Let's pray. Let's pray for them. Let's pray this evening right now. Let that prayer be your prayer tonight. Let that be your prayer in your heart. Lord, change me. Help my children to see more Jesus in my life tonight. You come.
'Tis grace that brought me saved thus far. Oh, I believe His grace will lead me home.
Oh,
Take the hand of the person next to you. I want you to join the prayer right now for the person next to you on your left or right. I want to invite you, those that know the worth of prayer, and I know most of you do, all of y'all, I want you to pray for your neighbor tonight. I want you to extend your prayer of love over their heart and life through this week of revival together. We'll find that God is hearing and answering the prayers of those who will call on the name of the Lord. And God is more than faithful, more than willing to come and hear and answer your prayer tonight. He said, I will never turn away the prayer of a contrite and humble heart. Never does God ever reject the prayer of a humble heart. And I pray tonight, as you pray for each other right now, for these moments, would you just join now together with the heavenly host in heaven tonight. Say, thank you, Almighty God, tonight for bringing revival to Fairmount, Illinois, throughout our community.
Amen.
God, let your spirit spread throughout this earth. And Lord, may your spirit brood over this part of the earth. Thank you so much, God, for hearing the prayers of every saint standing or kneeling tonight, wherever you are. God hears your heart. He knows your need. He knows tonight the place where he wants to rebirth hope and joy and peace in your heart tonight. Lord, do that for each and every one of us, Father. Father, create a holy hunger in our heart to know you, to love you more than we've ever loved you before, to consecrate our life to you, to separate ourselves unto you for your divine purposes to be accomplished. We thank you so much, Father, for every effort to gather us here together under the canopy of this tent tonight. Thank you, Father. Every person who's labored and given their time and effort, we praise you and thank you tonight, God. We've come apart to set ourselves apart to love you, to glorify your holy name. We love you and we thank you. We bless you. We thank you so much for the music that we've heard this evening. Again, Lord, this minister to each and every heart. Help us, Lord, to hear that amazing grace sung in our hearts every day.
That's right.
Thank you, Father, for that amazing grace. Help us tonight, Father. Fill us afresh.
Thank you for your Holy
Fill us afresh. Now say this with me out loud. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Fill me with your Spirit.
Fill me with your Spirit.
Cleanse me with your Spirit.
Cleanse me with your Spirit.
Forgive me for every sin.
Forgive me for every sin.
Turn my heart toward you.
Turn my heart toward you.
Give me a heart of devotion.
Give me a heart of devotion.
Give me a heart of love. And give me a heart of joy.
And a heart of joy.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.